right. Thank you, everyone. I'm really happy to be here this afternoon. I also have with me one of my partners here at the community-based organization we worked with in Chicago, so she'll be presenting a few slides as well. Now, Amanda and I were both part of the same program, the Johnson & Johnson Community Healthcare Program, so you've already heard a lot about it. You might hear a little bit more. It might be a little bit of the same thing, but I'll try to make it new and exciting. I have no disclosures. I'd like to start with a little bit of background regarding childhood obesity, and in particular in Hispanic children here in Chicago. We all know that obesity is a national problem, and in adults, probably, I think it's 70% now are overweight, almost 40% are obese, and this unfortunately has transferred to our children. And like Amanda mentioned, about one-third of children right now are overweight or obese, and one-sixth are obese. And within the last 30 years, it has doubled in children and tripled in adolescents. And in particular, children in the 6 to 11 year range, which is really the range that most reflects our population that we worked with, 18% are obese. Now, the prevalence of obesity can vary from many factors, in particular ethnicity. In our population of Hispanic children, Hispanic individuals happen to be more likely to be obese than non-Hispanic white individuals, and you had some good data about that on the previous presentation. Now, just for comparison's sake, in Chicago specifically, obesity rates are about the same as the U.S. average for adults, and they're approaching the U.S. average for children. Now, using what might look like a similar map, obesity prevalence estimates among Chicago public school students, grades kindergarten, 6 and 9, vary by community. So forget comparing to the national average. Now we're just looking at Chicago, and these are the various neighborhoods and communities within Chicago. And similar to what you saw before, I have a red circle around where our community-based organization was, Erie Neighborhood House, and that circle encompasses the primary neighborhoods that they serve. So that's Westtown, Humboldt Park, and Logan Square. And looking at those percentages for prevalence of obesity, you can see it's a lot higher than that national 18%. So here we're looking at low 20s to low 30s. So I think this provides really good evidence that this is a valid problem currently in Chicago. We need to start taking childhood obesity seriously. And a good way to do that is through these community-based organizations. So in an effort to help that, we partnered community-based organization, Erie Neighborhood House, with Johnson & Johnson and also Bloomberg School of Public Health to form a partnership to implement Super H Kids, which was Erie House's obesity prevention and nutrition education after-school program, and to build in-house capacity to monitor and evaluate that program. And I'm going to introduce Michaela here. She is the Assistant Director for Health Programs at Erie Neighborhood House, and she's going to tell you a little bit about the history of the organization and what the program actually is.
Thanks. So Erie Neighborhood House has been in Chicago for 145 years. We've been here since 1870, serving predominantly immigrant families. So when we first started, it was primarily Eastern European, but for the last like 50 to 60 years, it's been a predominantly Hispanic-serving organization. And it began as a Presbyterian mission church and now offers a variety of programs, including adult ESL and citizenship classes, workforce development, after-school programming, teen programs, and child care head start. So we do a lot of different things. And again, we do serve a predominantly Hispanic population today. And so Super H Kids has a long history, and Erie's commitment to children's health started with summer camps in the early 1900s that really wanted kids to get exercise and to receive healthy, well-balanced meals. And then over time, that commitment to children's health has evolved into having a dedicated health programs department within Erie. And we do the Super H Kids program, which just stands for Super Healthy Kids, designed to educate children about nutrition and physical activity, is the predominant goals of that, while building character and establishing healthy life skills. Which, as Leslie pointed out, the recent rise in obesity makes this program especially useful and important right now. So the Super Healthy Kids curriculum began officially in 2009 through a partnership with the Bright Promises Foundation and other outside consultants, with the ultimate goal to be creating a wellness education curriculum for children that are served by Erie's after-school program. So it is a 10-week program that operates one time per week as a club within the Erie After School programs, so that the children will obtain the skills that they need to lead a healthy life. So we serve 8 to 12-year-olds in this program, in Erie's After School program, and that's at two different sites. One is called The House, which is in the Westtown neighborhood, and the other one at Erie's Charter School, which is in East Humboldt Park. And it's a predominantly Hispanic, the kids are predominantly Hispanic, and there's an even split between male and female. So it was created with a modeling philosophy where we have kids, parents, and staff learning similar concepts, and then they model these new behaviors and knowledge to each other so that they're strengthening what they're learning within their families and within the whole Erie community. And so to make that happen, we developed other programs too, one for parents called Super H Parents, and then the other one called Super H Ethos, which is for the 2 to 5-year-olds at Erie, with the end goals for that, again, being exposure to new and healthy foods and lifestyles, improved self-esteem, and improved self-efficacy. So we have 90-minute sessions that meet one time per week, and they focus on the importance of movement, how to prepare healthy snacks, self-esteem, and health literacy. Here are some of the kids enjoying a healthy snack they had prepared in our side garden that we have. So some of the activities are Superfood Twister and Bingo. They make superfood placemats. We actually have a garden that we do with them every summer. Movement activities like games called Clean the Yard, and we teach them how to make smoothies, guacamole, healthy pizzas. It's been a pretty fun time. So I'll turn it back over to Leslie now.
All right, so now we know about this great program, but we want to evaluate it to make sure that we're actually having an impact towards childhood obesity. So in order to evaluate it, we formed this partnership between a scholar and the community organization and Hopkins School of Public Health, and the scholar, myself, we assisted Erie Neighborhood House in the development of goals and objectives, construction of a database to record pre and post responses, and also to do data analysis. And this process involved several site visits by myself to the community-based organization throughout the formative and implementation phases. In visit one, we really focused on redefining our goals and objectives and the indicators that we selected. We developed a conceptual framework. We created data collection forms, so these are designed as pre and post tests, and they included demographic information, height and weight, and then questions in the following sections, which were nutrition, physical activity, knowledge, behavior, and beliefs. So beliefs is what you would think of as like psychosocial indicators, so measuring self-efficacy and confidence. So the questions indicating those might be, how confident are you that you can eat a healthy snack this weekend, or how confident are you that you could participate in a new physical activity with your friends? The staff then conducted a formative pilot phase to test out our forms, make sure the kids understood them, we were getting the right answers, and then we did a recruitment plan and staff retention plan. Through several other visits, we created a database within EpiInfo, and this is a free downloadable data analysis software from the CDC, so anyone can use it, and we provided training. We also, during visit three, we did basic data analysis training, and we analyzed all the pre and post data to date to determine changes in our outcomes. And then we also did an advanced data analysis and presentation training. The overall goal of our Super H program, which we decided together, was to promote healthy behaviors for the prevention of childhood obesity among 8 to 12-year-olds enrolled in the program. Now, to reach that objective, we had to define specific, to reach that goal, we had to define specific objectives, which we decided were 25% of participating children would have improved nutritional status, 35% would have improved physical activity, and we also set an objective for any participating parents. And these are to be achieved by March 2016. So you might guess we're not there yet. We have some preliminary results for you. We developed this concept map to organize our thoughts, and this allowed us to outline the objectives and also the indicators that would measure them. For example, if you have an objective that is participating children will have improved physical activity, you have to ask questions that will get to that objective. So we came up with our indicators such as the number that knows they should engage in 60 minutes of physical activity a day, or the number who know they should limit their screen time to less than 2 hours per day. And these were the questions that went on those pre and post tests. This should also look familiar. We developed this conceptual framework, and from here you kind of have to work backwards. So we know that our ultimate outcome is reduced BMI, reduced childhood obesity. But to get there, there are several intermediate steps you first have to achieve, the closest being those intermediate behaviors. So are they exercising more? Are they eating more fruits and vegetables? But to even perform that behavior, you first have to have knowledge. So you take it back even another step to mediating variables. So do they know that they should be exercising? Do they know how to identify healthy snacks? And so this just helps us better visualize and organize where we're going, what we're doing, and kind of served as a reminder throughout the whole process, okay, what are we really trying to achieve here? What are we getting at? How can we direct our efforts more efficiently? As I mentioned, preliminary results. So at this point, we had 63 participants to begin with, 61 at follow-up. Average age is about 8 years old. Again, it's about 50-50 male-female. The ethnicity is predominantly Hispanic. And I will point out, it changes. So that's one of the things that we learned through this process is working with children and getting their answers on these forms that sometimes they didn't know what they identified as, and that's just something we just have to go with. And being those preliminary data, we had a small sample size. We looked at all our outcomes, and really this was the predominant outcome as far as what we saw changing. And this is the percent of children that knew the daily physical activity recommendation. And you can see that at baseline, it was maybe almost more than a quarter, and then it got to almost like half the students who knew that recommendation. So this was our most significant finding. And I know the numbers are hard to read there, but it's 48% of children at follow-up compared to 31 at baseline, and this was trending towards significance. Unfortunately, we didn't find any significant results at this time. Some other outcomes we measured, we looked at the percent of children meeting the daily fruit and vegetable recommendation and the mean BMI percentile, but we haven't seen any changes there yet. We're hopeful that at the end, March 2016, that with a larger sample size, we might be able to find some stronger outcomes. So what can we conclude from this? Well, programs like Super H Kids, we have the potential to impact childhood obesity. They're much needed in the community. There are several examples of them throughout the city, and I think it's a combined effort and something you're going to be hearing a lot more about lately as some potential to affect change within these communities. We believe that these programs can be made more sustainable through the development of this in-house monitoring and evaluation. And we believe it can be used to assess progress in meeting our goals and objectives and identifying areas for improvement. So a big thing is, you know, even though we didn't see any significant changes at this point, it kind of indicates to us, well, what do we need to work on? So if we're not seeing any positive outcomes yet, maybe we need to go back and fix the program. We need to focus on different things. So it really does provide a lot of knowledge for Erie Neighborhood House as where to focus their efforts so they can get those better outcomes. And then they can take those and go and get more grants and do bigger things. And partnerships between community-based health organizations and academic institutions can improve program outcomes and provide evidence-based feedback for future program development. So we were very happy to be working with Erie Neighborhood House. It's a fantastic program. The kids love it. Through several site visits, everybody always has such positive things to say, parents included. I remember walking out of the building and one of the moms picking up her kid had a soda. And the little kid goes, "Mom, no, we learned today you can't drink that. You can't drink that." So I'm kind of happy to see that. They're taking that knowledge home and sharing it with their family. And kids can be a big influence on purchasing habits. So hopefully we're making more of an impact that we just aren't able to measure. So that's all I have for you. And thank you again for having us here today to present.
Thank you, Melissa.